we were together, and we were two or three, him, Kopu, me, and the other guy, little boys. Everybody else was, you know, grown up and all that. And so we sort of stuck together for our own protection, although all the others were Jewish people and, you know, they wouldn't do anything, but we stuck together. And we went on the train, and we went, they took us to Theresienstadt. On the journey, again, there was no food, and the trains, you know, those cattle trains, you know, you open up in the middle, it's nothing, and so we were put on one side and the other side, and the German guard were in the middle. And we traveled for, I don't know how long, but not too long. And we went over Dresden, and as we looked at it, it was soon after Dresden was bombed by the Allies, there was only chimneys standing. That was the most amazing view we had of it. Looking at it, we saw only chimneys. And also we went through Chemnitz, and we saw it bombed. I saw the Chemnitz being bombed there. Anyway, we went through, a lot of people died on the trains, and they had a special wagon where they, when people died, they used to throw them onto there, and I suppose the next station they took them off. I don't know exactly what. Even the German guards, because we stopped now and again, they had no food either. So they had to go to the villages to beg for food. And our guard there, I think he gave some food to some of us. It was the end, obviously. And then we arrived in Theresienstadt. In Theresienstadt, we arrived, and our lot, we were just outside the main. Have you been to Theresienstadt? No.
Yes.
Oh, you have. You know the main barracks and all that. We were just outside. Maybe they didn't have any room there. So what happened? I was one night that was full of Germans. Troops all over the place. We woke up in the morning, there wasn't one German. The Russians were there. At night, Germans, in the morning, the Russians were there. And they obviously says, you're okay now, and you can... And then the following day or 2 days later, I would say tens of thousands prisoners, German prisoners, were just lined up and walking. And the Russians told us, you can do to them what you like. I don't know if it happens everywhere, but I have not seen anybody taking revenge on any of those Germans. Not one of us, and we could have. I've never seen anybody beating up a German or anything, in spite of it. You know, what we went through. So then they took us to the main, into the barracks there, because they took us to the children together there, and obviously we got enough food and all that, but some people died in Theresienstadt because they overate, because we could go to the town there, and it was full of chocolates, and they just ate chocolates and all sorts of things, and they died, what I've heard, they said they died from overeating, because obviously we didn't eat all the time.
What were you eating?
What?
What did you get?
No, we got to proper food. They gave us food. But because we were sort of free, you could go out, you go to the shops and probably looted some of them, I don't know. And then cigarettes, they, you know, started. That's when I started smoking. Because I was interested with this. There's also this older guy there, and we got... friendly and all that, and he was smoking. Oh, there's so many cigarettes. And he says to me, not until you smoke are you a man. You know, what nonsense. However, anyway, I started smoking then. But obviously, I stopped smoking maybe 45 years ago. I thought it was stupid. From there, they took us to Prague. All the children took to Prague.
How many children were there then?
Well, the first transport came about 340 or something like that. Were mostly boys, very few girls.
That was from Theresienstadt to Prague?
No.
Now I'm saying how many children were taken from Theresienstadt?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't.
Were you taken
to Prague? All I know is they took us to Prague and we again lived in a sort of hostel type of things. We were there for a short time. Then and it was the 45 August the 14th, which you obviously know the date, the RAF came with the Lancaster bombers, and they, all the guns and everything was unloaded. It was completely empty. I remember that. And they came and they were so good to us, and we went all, and we just sat on the floor together with them, you know, and they talked. Obviously, we didn't know English, but maybe some people knew, I don't know.
How did you communicate with them?
Somehow, I don't know. I really don't know. Somehow, but obviously, they were so kind and wonderful to us. We were not used to this sort of treatment. And then we arrived in Carlisle.
How long did the journey take, the flight?
I don't know, Prague. I don't know those Lancaster bombers, how long it's, I don't remember.
Did they give you anything to eat on the plane?
Oh, yes. We had food, we had...
On the plane itself,
yeah.
Do you remember what you were given?
No. There are certain memories that are sort of rather vague, and I don't remember.
Besides coming to England, did you know where in England you were coming to?
No, we didn't know.
You just knew England.
In Carlisle, it's very funny. I thought I had pictures of us walking from the plains in Carlisle. Somebody, you will get these pictures from somebody, I bet you.
Was there anybody to greet you in Carlisle?
I don't know. What was in Carlisle? Because I think we went immediately to Windermere from there. We arrived in Windermere.
How did you get from Carlisle to Windermere? How did
I think it may have been on buses. Somebody will remember that. I don't.
And what time of day did you arrive in Windermere?
I don't know. I bet you, as you interview some others, they will tell you, some of them may know the exact hour and all that. Anyway, we arrived in Windermere, and we were allotted. There was, you know, it was an RAF camp before that. And those barracks, they all had single rooms, very tiny, really tiny. There was a bed, a little wardrobe, I remember that, and a little sort of shelf, I think, that flipped up and down next to the bed. And we were there by ourselves. You see, when I was in a crowd with everybody, I was all right. But again, in Windermere, I used to cry myself to sleep in the room by myself. You know, all through the camp, after a while, I didn't even think about my family or anybody. It was only food that I, and the next day, you know. But as I arrived in Windermere, and when I was alone in my room, it was very distressing, very. But after a while, anyway, we weren't that long. And in Windermere, and I must have told you that story, there was a big mess hall where we were eating all together. So, of course, they gave us food. And some of the boys took the food immediately on the lap. Did they tell you that? They took on the lap underneath the... and said, I didn't have any food. And they told us, don't worry, if you want more, we'll give you more. Nobody believed them. We had food underneath like that. So, of course, they gave you another portion. And we also got double ration bread and everything. Like the forces, we got the same ration of food as the forces did. And so that was, yes. And we used to go into Windermere itself. Although not, I don't remember, Troutbreck Bridge we went. And, of course, a lot of the boys went up trying to pick up girls. And everybody told you, oh, I picked up a girl, and all this sort of thing. But the local boys didn't like it. There was a sort of... I don't know, I didn't come across it, but what I heard from the other boys, that they were, the local boys were not pleased about us trying to get the girls, well, you know. And then from Windermere...
Let's just stay in Windermere a little bit.
Yes.
Because I've got a few things to
ask
you about Windermere.
Yes.
I mean, who was looking after you there? Do you remember who was in charge? Or
I don't know the names,
no.
But there was people in charge.
What were they like?
Well, everybody was so kind to us. At every step after the war, the Russians, the pilots, you know, I mean, the Russians were just throwing food from the tanks to us. And, oh, yeah, the Russians were absolutely fantastic to us. They really were. There's one incident talking about when they told us we can do what we like. So there happens to be one incident there that as the Germans were walking along, there's one guy came to one of them and he said, take your jack boots off, you know. He took his boots off. And the SS man says, yes, 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 bitte nicht schlagen, please don't hit me. To, you know, the big heroes. But we could have done whatever we liked with the Germans, and we didn't. We didn't. There may have been abuses somewhere else, I don't know. We never took revenge, and it's the right way.
When you arrived in Windermere, you know, can you remember that your first day there? Can you remember sort of what you thought, how and what happened?
Well, we were, first of all, obviously allocated our rooms. And so, you know, you had a room to yourself, and some of us just stayed there until next day. There were some activities there, do you know? Certain things I remember vividly, and some things I do not remember. Don't know why it is. Windermere. I remember going to Windermere, Troutbeck Bridge there. This sort of it wasn't a river really, it was a stream, I think. Have you seen it? No.
I'm not sure if I've seen.
No, it's a sort of a stream. I've been to the Lake District since then, which is obviously very beautiful. But nothing special.
What did you have any lessons? Did you learn English there?
No, that was done after this allocated hostels to us.
Oh, yeah.
They sent some of them to Glasgow, some to London. I was first sent to Bedford.
So you didn't have lessons in Windermere that you
not
remember?
That I remember. Not that I remember.
Yeah. What about sport activities? Did you do any sport there?
I think there was sort of football, I think, sort of playing. Because there was plenty of room there. It was quite a big place, you know. That's all I can remember about Windermere, really.
What about entertainment? Did you go to the cinema?
Yes. Cinemas, yeah, we did go to cinema. I don't remember what films there were, but yes, we went to town to cinema. I think we got half a crown a week or something. You know, but you could go to cinema for sixpence, you know. So.
Did you ever go on the lake, or did you ever swim in the lake?
No, no, but I went to the lake, yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
This I did. Yeah. No, I never, never did swim in the lake.
And did you have to have any kind of like medical examination? Did you get
Oh, yes, 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 they examined us. And but you see, afterwards, also we were examinations, we were going along. They didn't know themselves. First of all, psychologically, what to do with us. It's a unique occurrence. And physically, they thought we won't live very long. I don't know what they thought psychologically, that we might turn out, well, we should have turned out villains, the extreme, maybe murderers, because all we saw, oh yeah, I didn't tell you stories, I saw people being shot and hung, and, you know, all this sort of beaten, oh, there's a few things that they just come back to me in Schlieben, for instance, that a guy, I saw him being beaten up to pulp, his teeth were broken, and all that. And because this was the guy who told me that there was a store of sort of a little crisp type of things to go there, and he used to pinch it, break in, pinch it. And so I also went once. So when I was caught, this German guy hit me across my cheeks, and he says, "Schieß mit dem Wind, shoot with the wind, hi darling," and send me away. And that other guy who told me what to do, his eyes were black, his teeth were broken. He did the very same thing what I did, because he was a big guy. He beat him up, this German, but not me. But they were, you know, talk about luck. Can you see? And there are a few incidents that I couldn't go into all of them, that I got away with, well, with murder, not with murder, but that other people got beaten up and I didn't.
Did this all affect you psychologically later?
Well, I don't think so. Look at all of us. I always, now that I sometimes go to schools to talk, at the end of it, I'm trying to tell the children that there's no excuse for terrible misbehavior or knifing or stealing and all that, because that's what we should have turned out. We turned out, we were all together, came here about 1,000 good citizens, good parents, good grandparents. We brought up our children, and if you think about it, really, I sometimes think about it, that we turned out to be normal. It's amazing. It really is amazing that we should have turned out normal. First of all, after this experience, we should have said, I don't want to get married. I don't want to raise children to this horrible world, which it still is. And yet, you sort of hope, you know, because at the end of the war, we already knew the Germans were defeated and coming. And I remember this one thought I had. I don't care if I die now, he says. All I want to see is the Germans defeated. I says, if they lose the war, I don't care if I die. I had this thought at the time, you know. But this is an amazing thing, that we turned up. Nobody went to jail. Nobody committed any serious misdemeanors. You know, I dare say, I can't speak for everybody, but it seems that we didn't.
Coming back to the medical side, You say like you had a medical examination. Were there any of the children that were poorly that had to go to hospital?
They said there were some hostels who the children had something wrong with their lungs. And they sent them, but they recovered as well and all that. I think they thought that was something with me as well, but I don't know what it was. But by and large, we were all very well, considering, you know, really, because all the 6 years I was hungry during the war, even when I was with my parents, there wasn't enough food. Obviously, my mother cooked and we had sort of. But in the camps, I never had enough for 4 years. I was nearly 4 years in the camps. I was hungry for 4 years. Not hungry, no. With my parents, I was hungry. In the camps, I was starving. It's just, you know, to come to think of it, I sort of talk about it now. There were times when when I said that we turned out good citizens, our saving was that we were together in hostels from the same background. We were sort of in the same boat. We all lost our parents and our whole entire families. And we were in hostels. I think that was our therapy, because my son is a psychotherapist now. And years ago, he wrote a thesis on almost on the boys, and he sort of said that our therapy was the togetherness. But because that's what I believe.
Were there any boys that didn't cope very well, you know, that you remember that were having a hard time?
When? After coming here?
Yeah.
Look, there were some, especially a friend of mine, he came back in a hostel in Loughton, we were together at night, and he sort of raided the kitchen because the kitchen was closed. He was hungry. So apparently, I remember he smashed up a few things there. That as far as it went. I haven't heard anybody doing anything major, sort of. No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Coming back to Windermere, was there any problem about getting clothing? Did they sort of give you?
No, they gave us, yes.
Yeah, they gave you sort of clothing.
Yeah, of course.
When you got there, did you get yours on time, or was there a delay?
I don't know.
I really don't know.
I know we did get clothing.
Did you get clothing? Yeah.
We had. Well, we had some that we came in. You know. I don't know. That was sort of the last thing on my mind, clothing. You know, after all that.
Oh, and was there a space set aside in Windermere for religious purposes? Did they have a shul or anything? Or
were there prayers? I don't know.
You don't remember?
Do you know? I can't remember. Yeah. It's very odd. It's so close. I mean, the camps were further away than Windermere, and yet I remember a lot of things about the camps. A lot of things. Oh, yes, and about this guy that I met. You know, that wrote that book after 60 years, and he couldn't get over it. He could not get over it. I'm still in touch with him. Incidentally, he was in Poland. He went in the book. Get the book. Read it. I think you will be his experience.
So what was the cap?
The cap.
And who's the author?
Roman Frister. Roman.
Right, and you were at school with him?
Yeah. Frister. F-R-I is Frister. Right. And he wrote many other books. Because I remember him from school still. He was the brightest pupil, even then, you know. And he went back to Poland after the war. He became the editor of a Polish newspaper. 1956, when, you know, the Suez things was on, the Poles became very anti-Semitic again. He lived like a Pole in Poland. He, you know, I think he married a Polish girl, and all this sort of thing. Then he says, that's enough, he says. I'm going to Israel, he says. After all that, so he went back to Israel. He became the editor of Haaretz. And then, after a while, he retired from being editor from Haaretz, and he became a lecturer in journalism in the University of Tel Aviv. He's quite a guy. Oh, wait a minute. Where is this picture? Oh, gosh. Have I got one? I don't know. Anyway, by the way, this is my family.
Well, we'll come on to them in a minute, because I haven't taken to, I'm just keeping you in Windermere for the moment.
I'm sorry that I've veered away from...
It's fine, just to see if I can, you know, find any other memories at all, really. Yes. I mean, did you have a visit to the dentist, do you remember? Did you have your teeth looked at? The first dentist
I remember, I went here in London.
And did any of the boys... hear about what had happened to their family, or get any news at all while they were there?
While they were there, no.
Nothing while they were there.
Oh, wait a minute. One of them, no. Was it in Windermere? He lived in Brighton. His name is... it was Falinova. But he changed his name to... His brother was very funny. His brother was here. He was in the RAF. He was the very first one who found his brother. What did he change his name to? Oh my God! Somebody will tell you. Ben Helfgott will know. Falinova. I knew it anyway. He may have come straight from Windermere to get him. I think he did. I think. That was the first one who found his brother. Mm. Yeah. He's in Brighton, even now. I mean, if you would have a chance to... haven't you got Falinova on his... Or somebody similar name.
I might have,
He would be the interesting one to talk to, because I think his brother came to get him.
So, I mean... Also, with did you travel while you were in Windermere? Did you go on day trips? Do you remember if you went out?
No, all I remember is sort of going to town. That's all. Maybe the other guys did that. I was never very adventurous myself.
So, looking back at that short time you were in Windermere, what's your overriding memory of the place? What sort of is in your mind when you look back?
I don't remember it so well. All I remember is, I remember the barracks, you know, the one by one, and I remember the mess hall, because we used to go to eat there. That was really something. The noisiest place you ever heard, you know. That's all.
I mean, I've got a picture here of... Whether you'll remember...
Yes.
Does that ring bell?
That's it.
Yeah?
Of course. There were these barracks. Can you see?
Yeah. Turn it. So
can you leave me one of these or not? No. Okay, that's
sure. We'll take a copy. Have you got some?
No, she hasn't got. Anyway, look, you can
send it to me. It's in the book. There's one in the
book.
Oh,
I see. Okay,
it's
lovely.
In the book, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is the dining room? Do you remember which is the mess hall?
There was a big... God.
Can you get your bearings at all?
No, not so much.
No. Is that what it is?
But I know this where the sort of small... and that's why, can you see? Those are all single rooms.
Yeah.
Do they say there was all single rooms?
Yeah.
I remember that. All single rooms. And I couldn't believe it myself, a room, you know. They were all single rooms. What is further away there? Where's Troutberg Beach? Is it in here or not? Because it wasn't all that far from there.
Right.
Very near. This I do remember. Yeah, yeah, the barracks, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, that I do remember. The mess hall, where was it? What could be one of them?
It must have been a bigger building, yeah.
It was. Well, inside, hi darling. It was...
I mean, I wonder what's this? That looks a bigger building.
It could possibly be that. I know, because we sort of all fitted in there. Unless there were two sessions, I don't know.
Was there any food that you got that you didn't, that you'd never had before?
What it was, because we never saw white bread. We thought it was challah. Just eating. Do you know, of course now I'm that much older, but ever since the war, I was a little guy, I was always very slim, of course not anymore. I used to eat, when I used to go to friends, they used to say, oh, Jan is here, double portion. I don't know how, I never put weight on it. For many years, I didn't put weight on. Even after when we got married, because I got married quite late in life. I was 40, nearly 41. That's also you know where I got married? In Germany.
Oh, we're not up to there, yeah. So coming back. So you say white bread?
White bread. We thought it was challah.
Anything else that was different food-wise to what you'd seen before?
No, well, sort of eggs we always had.
Tea? Did you?
What? Tea, obviously. We had coffee. No, when we had tea, it was tea with lemon, way back in Poland, or coffee. I can't remember, I can't. As I say, you'll probably interview a few more people who will have a better recollection than me, I don't know.
And did you did you speak to any of the locals? Did you sort of try and, I mean, you couldn't speak English before?
No, but rather shy in my younger days, in fact very shy actually, but there were some of them who, you know, they would talk any language to anybody if they understood or not, you know, they went ahead. There were some guys like that, yes.
And what about the fact that cars and or bikes or whatever were on the other side of the road? Did that cause any problems?
No, not to me. I never thought about it, actually.
Did you go on a bike? Did they give bicycles?
No, I didn't have a bicycle until I went to Loughton to a hostel. And we all went to the Isle of Wight all the way. It was fantastic. I've got some of the pictures here that we took. Went there. We had a fantastic time, you know. In the hostels, it was very good because we were together. As I said, definitely a therapy.
So how long, when did you move out from Windermere?
I don't think I was there long. Mm. There must be a record somewhere to say who went where at what time.
Where did you go? So you
I went to Bedford.
Right.
And when I went to Bedford, I wanted to come to London. So eventually they sent me to Loughton.
So what was in Bedford? What was
Bedford? There was a beautiful building. It was in called the place the road there was Goldingtonbury. This I remember. In Bedford, a big mansion type of house. I suppose somebody donated it to for us. And the same was in Loughton. We had in Epping Forest we lived.
So how long were you in Bedford?
Again, I'll have to ask people when I came to Loughton.
Mm.
I really don't remember. Bedford, that wasn't a long time. I didn't sort of want to stay there. But in Loudon, it was fantastic. In the middle of the forest, we recently went there because the people who live there now were very interested who we were. So they made a real nice, good party for us, and they talked to us, and they, you know. I didn't take, I've got some pictures here from there. And from Loudon, we went to Belfast Park Hostel, which then became a youth club. It was called Primrose Youth Club. And from there we sort of paired up and we took a room. Some of us, they live by themselves. No, we wanted to be together. So at least sometimes they rented a house, three, four of them. But I usually shared a room with some other guy, and then again with somebody else. And
where did you learn English?
Ah, well, in Loudon Hostel, and also in Bedford they started already. No, they taught us that we had lessons in Loudon. It was a fantastic hostel, and from there they also for I think a few weeks, as far as I can remember, but they say a few months, they sent us in to Lister Institute. It was a sort of a school, again, which they thought we should go for further education, but I never made it. But some of them did. There was one, Jerzy Herzberg, have you got him? He was in Mundome and in Loudon. He was a professor of mathematics in Exeter University. Then he was in Birkbeck College, London University, a lecturer. Then I've met another friend who I went to school with, and he was the lecturer of economics. Economics.
I
beg your pardon. That's also to art school, that was in Kensington, and some of us. One of the guys, Roman Holter, he's an architect. Michael Etkin, also architect, and who else? What's her name? Berger. He is a veterinary surgeon. We had some of us quite. I tell you, I mean, Jerzy Herzberg, he was a great mathematician. I mean, he's still about, you know. And we. And then, of course, a lot of them got into business and were very,
So how long were you at the art school for?
No, I was a short time there. I sort of didn't...
And what did you do after that? What did you do?
certain things, old things. At first, they tried to go into engineering and... worked in some, was again very short time, that didn't work out. Then in the end, lots of us went into tailoring because that was the easiest way. There was a lot of Jews in the tailoring, so the committee, Jewish committee, the CBF, and so they tried to allocate. So I think it was the easiest way. So I learned tailoring in the East End. And I worked there for quite a few years. And then after that, we got together and we still bought a hotel and I became a manager in the hotel.
Where was this?
In Loudon. But in the end, a few years again, didn't work out either. But we sort of managed. Most of us sort of fairly well off.
So were you still with other of the boys when you went into the hotel? Was it a few of you together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
you know, things happen in the meantime, and you know how people take risks, and we're only human. As I told you, we worked out to be average. So, yeah, and that's that. And then now also we do, I have three children.
So how did you meet your wife?
Ah, interesting story. I went to Israel, and our friends and all that, and I was with friends in Ashkelon with somebody.
So was this your first visit, or you?
No, no, I was many times before that.
Right.
That was, and so I met this friend of mine who was married to an Israeli girl, and she said, "Oh, this, ah, yes," and there was a friend of hers there. She says, "Oh, my sister is coming to London." So I says, "Look, if I can be of any assistance." It wasn't her incident. She's born in Israel as well. She came, I picked up from the airport and deposited what she needed and all that. And then Sarah, "Hello, mate." "That's my mate."
Imagine. Another one. I turned it on pause while, yes.
Anyway, she came out then. That.